Good morning. And to our visitors, we say welcome. We're glad you're here. Also, Lord willing, we will be having a fellowship lunch in our fellowship hall after morning worship. And if you're able, we would invite you to eat with us. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful Savior. Our desire is that this day he might be greatly exalted, that by your grace we might worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you that you've commanded us to gather and that you've promised through your Son that when we gather in his name that you'll be with us. And Father, we pray that you would be with us this day, that you would give us what we need. Would you open our eyes, our ears, our understanding, cause us to profit from the consideration of Holy Scripture. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 14. The fourth gospel, chapter 14. And would you please stand with me for the reading of Holy Scripture? The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. Speaking to his beloved disciples, our Savior said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. You may be seated. Well, there are a couple of other scriptures that I want to put before you, I want us to have in our minds this morning. So please look to the very next chapter, John chapter 15, and look down to verse 12. And the Savior says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Finally, look to chapter 16 and down to verse 23. The Savior says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, brothers and sisters, listen. If one thing is clear from Jesus' words in the passages that we just read here from the fourth gospel, it's that he promised that his Father would answer prayers that were offered in his name. Was that clear? In chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In chapter 15, verse 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And in chapter 16, verse 23, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, these promises of the Savior have led, in the history of Christianity, these promises of the Savior have led to the widespread practice among Christians to end all their prayers with this phrase, in Jesus' name. You just heard me pray that, didn't you? In Jesus' name. Amen. Why? Well, because of these promises from the lips of the Savior himself. So let me say right now that this preacher has no desire to change this practice. But, listen, as a shepherd in God's flock, it is my desire to guide the sheep into green pastures of truth, green pastures of knowledge, and green pastures of faith. I'm not trying to change this practice. But listen. The idea among many seems to be that these scriptures from the fourth gospel guarantee that when a prayer is uttered, any prayer, and then the phrase, in Jesus' name, is tacked on at the end of that prayer, that those words at the end of that prayer make that prayer almost sort of a magical incantation, which God the Father is then obligated to answer. And church, listen. I think we've been taught better than that. I think we have. But if not, let me assure you today that no word of man obligates God. Somebody should say amen. Almighty God is not accountable to men. Men are accountable to Almighty God. God will never be required to give an accounting to us. But every one of us shall give an account to God. Romans 14:12. Every one of us shall give an account to God. God is not accountable to us. We are accountable to him. Irreverent and heretical men and irreverent and heretical women have had their say. And the charismatic word faith teaching concerning these verses seems to be the standard interpretation for many these days. And the effect The effect is to make the Almighty into a sort of Santa Claus or a bottled genie, where the magic words in Jesus' name are sort of rubbing Aladdin's lamp. Well, saints, listen. We preach a high doctrine of God here. We do. So let me assure you that any interpretation of these promises of Jesus that would denigrate the Almighty is wrong. You understand? Any interpretation of these promises of Jesus that would denigrate God Almighty is the wrong interpretation. Do you ever wonder just what God requires? You think He's just an errand boy to satisfy your wandering desires? When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up and strengthen the things that remain? To quote a modern prophet. Our God is not Santa Claus. Our God is not Aladdin's genie. Our God is the great I Am. The one who spoke all things into existence. The one who giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now, I said earlier that I'm not on a crusade to change the way we pray. Listen, we need to pray in Jesus' name. We do. But listen, listen, praying in Jesus' name is not just about tacking that little phrase on to the end of our prayers. Do you hear me? In Jesus' name is not open sesame or abracadabra. It's not. It's not. The phrase in Jesus' name is not a magical incantation. To pray in Jesus' name means much more, much, much more than just saying those little words. Saints, listen, think with me. We can be assured that praying in Jesus' name means much more than just saying those words at the end of a prayer because of the record of Holy Scripture. Right? Listen, we have the record of many apostolic prayers in the New Testament. Right here in the New Testament canon, we have the record of many of the prayers of the holy apostles. But in none of those recorded prayers, none of them, not a one of them ends with that phrase, in Jesus' name. None. Now, do you think that the apostolic prayers offered to Almighty God by the holy apostles were offered in Jesus' name? Surely they were. Surely they were. So, I assure you, we can be assured that praying in Jesus' name means much more than just saying in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer. It means much more than that. To understand what Jesus meant when He speaks of praying in His name, we need to understand the significance of names in Hebrew thought. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. In general, nowadays, our names don't have an intrinsic meaning. You can probably get on the internet and search for the meaning of your name. I got on the internet and searched for the meaning of my name. I said, Edward, name meaning. And here's what I found. The internet says that Edward is derived from the Old English Ead Weard, meaning wealthy or fortunate guardian. It's a compound name composed of the elements Ead, meaning prosperity or wealth, and Weard, meaning guardian or protector. Well, that's interesting. But listen. When my mama and daddy named me Edward, they weren't thinking wealthy protector or prosperous guardian. They just weren't. They were thinking of my grandpa, and they were naming me after him. And you might be Michael or Catherine or Taylor or Roy. But those names aren't intended to define you or convey a poignant message about you, generally. But it's different in the Bible. You know this, don't you? It's different in the Bible. Often in the Bible, very, very often, Bible names convey or represent the personality, destiny, the character, or the origin of a person. Peter means rock. Andrew means strong. Isaac means what? Laughter. Jacob means cheater. Nabal means fool. Barak means thunder. Micah means humble. Nahum means comforter. What does Jesus mean? I know that you know that Jesus means Savior. Just like Joshua, Savior. Now, what do we mean when we speak of our Lord, Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus Christ. What do we mean? I know that you know that Christ is not Jesus' last name. Well, Lord means Master. Jesus means Savior. And Christ means King, Anointed One. So when we call out to the Lord, Jesus Christ, we are calling out to our Master, our Savior, our King. You understand? Biblically, but also historically, names symbolize authority. When the FBI bangs on the door and shouts, "Open up now! In the name of the law, open up now!" What are they talking about? What do they mean? Well, when they say that, they're saying, we're not just some men here in black coats. They're saying, we're here representing the full might of the laws of the United States of America. We're here by the authorization, with the authority of the government of the United States. And you better open the door now or else. Aren't they? Do you remember that dramatic encounter in 1 Samuel when the young shepherd boy David ben Jesse confronted the giant Goliath? In 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands.'" 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. When young David came out against the giant. He came in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. He was coming with divine authority. He was coming in the name of Yahweh of armies. Jehovah of hosts. In the name of the Lord. Now, with one smooth stone, that young boy did what the armies of Israel hadn't been able to do. In the name of the Lord. Biblically, listen, biblically, names not only denote character and authority, biblically, names also indicate reputation. Just a few minutes ago, we prayed that model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. And the first petition of that prayer is, "Hallowed be thy name." And we've spoken of this before, but you know that to hallow something is to reverence it, to treat it as extremely valuable, to hallow it. And when we pray for God's name to be hallowed, we are praying that men would honor, revere, and value God. For His name, God, represents Him. Now, saints, listen, hear me. If you believe what we've just said about the Hebrew conception of naming, character and authority and reputation, if you believe that, then listen, if you believe that, then to pray in Jesus' name is not just to tack "in Jesus' name" on at the end of a prayer. It's much more than that. It's to pray based on who Jesus is, the character, who He is. It's to pray with His authority. And it's to pray that His reputation might be heightened and advanced in this world. Do you see? If you believe what we've just said, then to pray in Jesus' name is much more than just tacking that little phrase on at the end of a prayer. It's to pray in light of who this divine character is. It's to pray in light of His authority. And it's to pray with an earnest desire that His reputation be advanced in this world. Who is He? He is the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, Savior, King. What authority does He have? He claims it all. He claims it all. Speaking to His beloved disciples immediately before His ascension, He said, "All power is given to Me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28:18. And what is His reputation? Well, to those who know Him, His reputation is pristine, pure, perfect. But we who know Him desire that His reputation be heightened and enhanced in this world. We desire that many more might hallow His name with us. With us. Saints, listen. Praying in Jesus' name is praying based on who He is, with His authority, so that His reputation might be increased in this world. Praying in Jesus' name. Listen, to pray in Jesus' name is to say to God the Father, "Jesus authorized me to pray this prayer." To pray in Jesus' name is to say to Almighty God, "Your Son told me to pray this. Your Son told me to pray this. Now, Nina, philosophers know that it's very difficult to speak of things in themselves. It's hard to talk about the thing in itself. And so we must often resort to analogy. And you know, analogies are great, but the problem with analogy is they always fall when they're pressed too far. But think with me for a minute about an analogy. You know what it is to have possession of what lawyers call power of attorney, don't you? POA. I've got his power of attorney. I've got his signed POA here in my possession. To have someone's power of attorney is to have the lawful authorization to represent or to act in another's behalf. Right? You've got your power of attorney. When Jesus taught his disciples, and listen, saints, that's us. Right? When Jesus taught his disciples, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When Jesus taught his disciples that, it was like he was giving them his power of attorney. It was like he was saying, you can sign my name on your prayers. You can sign my name on your prayers. Now listen, when we pray to God the Father in Jesus' name, there's a real sense in which we're saying to God the Father, your Son told me to pray this. Now, we said that analogies always fail when they're pushed too far. But let's push this one just a little farther. What happens if you try to use a power of attorney in an unauthorized manner? Well, the judge will send for you. And the judge will deal with you. If you try to use a power of attorney in an unauthorized manner, the judge will send for you and he will deal with you. And saints, listen, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but the charismatic prayers, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Those prayers are unauthorized. Jesus' promise was, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:23. Did you hear that qualifying phrase? When the word of faith charlatan prays, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That prayer does not have as its end that the Father be glorified in the Son. And that prayer is unauthorized. That is not a prayer that Jesus signed his name to. And when the phrase in Jesus' name is tacked on to the end of that prayer, it's a lie. It's a sham. It's a misuse of the name of the Lord. It's a taking of the name of the Lord in vain. And ultimately, the judge will deal with it. He will. Now, beloved, listen. What do you think that God will do with a prayer addressed to Him that truly honors Jesus? A prayer addressed to God Almighty that is truly signed by Jesus. What do you think God the Father will do with it? What do you think? He'll answer it. He'll grant it. He'll say yes, because it's the will of the Father that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. John 5:23. The Father honors His Son. God the Father always answers Jesus' prayers. And saints, listen. When we are truly, truly praying in Jesus' name, God always answers our prayers. To falsely, unauthorizedly sign someone's name to something, that's called fraud or forgery. And surely the judge of all the earth will do right. And fraudsters and forgerers will be dealt with. Saints, listen, I'm not making this up. And even though the charismatic covetousness and foolishness is strong in our day, it's nothing new. It's nothing new at all. Writing to the primitive church, James remonstrates with them. And he says, "You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." James 4:2-3. Apparently, even in the primitive church, there were converts who were praying for Mercedes-Benz or silver-plated chariots or whatever it was back then. And James tells them, you are asking amiss. You're asking amiss. In other words, it's a fake prayer. It's a fraud. It's a forgery. Jesus didn't sign His name to that. God sees it for what it is. And you will receive not. You will receive not. Beloved saints, listen, pray for what you need. God commands it. Pray for what you need. But never, never expect that God is going to feed your lusts. He's not. He loves you too much. If you pray for what you need and the primary motivation of your prayer is the glory of God, God will answer. Even from of old, He has commanded His people, saying, "Call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33:3. And it's John the Beloved who records the, quote, "in My name" teachings of Jesus in His Gospel. It's John the Beloved, and writing much later, maybe to clarify, writing much later in his first epistle, he writes, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." 1 John 5:14-15. Now, saints, listen. I hope, beloved brothers and sisters, listen. I hope that nothing I'm teaching you this morning would discourage you from prayer. That's not what I want at all. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to true prayer. I want us to be truly praying in Jesus' name. I want us to be praying in Jesus' name truly. Truly. The apostolic writers speak of praying boldly. Don't they? They encourage us to come boldly to God. Now, they paint a picture of a throne room and God being on the throne, high and lifted up, and the saints of God coming boldly, the veil removed, coming boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. The synonyms for boldly are confidently, bravely, courageously. That's how we're to come to God in prayer. That's how we're to come. And saints, listen, can you see how if our prayers are crafted truly for the glory of God, if they are truly signed by Jesus in His name, can you see how easy it is to be confident, bold, courageous, even brave? Do you understand, saints? We should always pray in Jesus' name. We should always pray in Jesus' name. Preaching to the rulers and elders of Israel after the healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 3, mighty Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 4, "Be it known unto you, all of you, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This Jesus is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:10-12. Beloved, listen, we should always pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, because there is salvation in no other name. No salvation in Krishna or Rama or Vishnu. No salvation in Buddha. No salvation in Allah or Muhammad or Zoroaster. Salvation in no name except the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 14:6. Saints, listen, when we pray to God in Jesus' name, our prayer is a confession of faith. Our prayer is a confession of faith. Our prayer is a confession that Jesus is the only way to God. Don't you see? When we pray to God in Jesus' name, we're agreeing with what Jesus said there in John 14:6. "I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by this way, me, Jesus." The great apostle echoes the Savior and he teaches there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who, Paul? Who? The man, Christ Jesus, King Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are confessing not only that there is salvation in no other name, we are confessing that the name of Jesus is the highest name of all, that there is no higher name. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the great apostle teaches, "God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Philippians 2:9-11. Friend, listen, if you pray to God and you want to be heard, you should pray in the name of Jesus. He hears prayers that Jesus signs. He does. It's the greatest name of all. It's the name above every other name. And if you're not going to pray to God in Jesus' name, whose name will you pray in? Yours? Mine? We've already seen that's not acceptable. Jesus is the mediator between God and humanity. And He has said, no one comes to the Father but by Me. Let me tell you something else, saints. Listen. The knowledge that we can only come to God in Jesus' name should not only make us bold, ironically, it should also make us humble. It wasn't very long after Jesus taught His disciples this, to pray in His name. It wasn't very long after that Jesus was on His knees before His Father in Gethsemane, passionately praying that the cup of crucifixion might pass. But the divine response was negative. And the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, submitted His will to God the Father, saying, not My will, but Thine be done. Luke 22:42. When we truly pray to God in Jesus' name, we always submit our will to His, because He knows what's best. We don't. Some of you are old enough to have known that, or have understood that you had something figured out and you knew what was best and you got it done. And then later you said, man, I wish I hadn't known what was best, because it sure wasn't best. He always knows what's best. You don't. And saints, listen, to be very practical, you don't have to constantly pray, if it be Thy will, if it be Thy will, if it be Thy will. You don't. God knows that. But listen. If you want to pray like that, you can. And don't let anybody make you feel guilty about it. Jesus did. Let not your good be evil spoken of. He asked for the cup to be taken away, but then He said, nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. Seems like more and more these days when I pray, I just ask My Father for what I think I want, and then I confess, Father, I want what You want. Make Me want what You want more. I want this earth to be filled with Your glory, like the waters fill the sea. I want the name of Jesus on every man's lips for praise, not for cursing. Beloved, when we truly pray in Jesus' name, we're praying that God's reputation, His name, be hallowed, be revered, be exalted in the earth. I think we saw that clearly in John 14:13, where the Savior said, whatsoever you ask in My name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You probably know the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? And the beautiful answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And saints, listen. If the chief end of man is to glorify God, then what is the chief end of man's prayers? Brother, sister, listen. I know there are many purposes to prayer. We are to pray and not lose heart. We are to pray when we're anxious We are to pray and cast our cares upon the Lord. But listen, the principal end, the highest end, the chief end of human prayer is to glorify God. It's that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen, when we truly pray in Jesus' name, we are desiring that anything and everything we ask for be fully consistent with God's will, God's character, and God's commands, aren't we? You see, you can't ask God, give me my neighbor's property. You can't pray that in Jesus' name. You can't ask God to bless covetousness or adultery in Jesus' name, can you? I mean, you can't ask God to bless any sin in Jesus' name. I mean, I guess you could say it. You could tack on the phrase in Jesus' name. But no matter what words you used, any such prayer wouldn't truly be in Jesus' name, and it would be an unauthorized forgery, a fake, a fraud, and it would surely arouse the suspicion of the judge. Saints, if you want to truly pray in Jesus' name, here's some very practical advice. Use the Lord's Prayer as a model. Remember, that prayer was given to Jesus' disciples, to us, in response to a direct request to the Savior. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, here it is. You ask, here's the answer. Here's how to pray. So, very practical advice. If you would pray in Jesus' name, use the Lord's Prayer as a model. And some more practical advice. Study the prayers of Jesus. Jesus prayed often, very often, and we have a few of his prayers, just a few of his prayers recorded in the pages of Holy Scripture. For example, his brief prayer before the raising of Lazarus, his prayer in Gethsemane, and of course his extended high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, and his prayers on the cross. But study Jesus' prayers and study the prayer that he gave when they said, how should we pray? And prayers, church, I'm glad that you are a praying church. And prayers, listen, here is the apostolic desire for us. The great apostle writes, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubting. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. Church, I want you to pray in Jesus' name. We bless the prophet of the Lord that comes with truth and grace. Jesus, thy Spirit and thy Word shall lead us in thy ways. We reverence our high priest above, who offered up his blood and lives to carry on his love by pleading with our God. We honor our exalted King. How sweet are his commands. He guards our souls from hell and sin by his almighty hands. Hosanna to His glorious name, who saves by different ways. His mercies lay a sovereign claim to our immortal praise. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. All-searching God, Thou readest the heart, viewest principles and motives of actions, seest more defilement in my duties than I ever saw in any of my sins. The heavens are not clean in Thy sight, and Thou chargest the angels with folly. I am ready to flee from myself because of my abominations, yet Thou dost not abhor me. But Thou hast devised means for my return to Thee, that by Thy Son, who died to give me life, I might be saved. Thine honor is secured and displayed even in my escape from Thy threats, that by means of Jesus, in whom mercy and truth meet together, and righteousness and peace kiss each other. In Him the enslaved find redemption, the guilty pardon, the unholy renovation. In Him are everlasting strength for the weak, unsearchable riches for the needy, treasures of wisdom and knowledge for the ignorant, fullness for the empty. At Thy gracious call I hear, take, come, apply, receive His grace. Not only to submit to His mercy, but acquiesce in it. Not only glory in the cross, but in Him crucified and slain. Not only joy in forgiveness, but in the One through whom atonement comes. Thy blessings are as secure as they are glorious. Thou hast provided for my safety and my prosperity, and hast promised that I shall stand firm and grow stronger. O Lord God, without the pardon of my sin, I cannot rest satisfied. Without the renovation of my nature by grace, I can never rest easy. Without the hopes of heaven, I can never be at peace. All this I have in Thy Son, Jesus. Blessed be His name. In Jesus' name, amen.